this is Damien O'Doherty with Center Maryland's The Lobby Pod. And more than ever, we've been bringing healthcare leaders to the State Circle lobby so that our leaders in Annapolis can hear about our leaders throughout the state who are working so hard through this pandemic experience. Today, we're bringing you Ed Lovern. I always say to this community, it rhymes with govern. Ed Lovern is the health system president and CEO of Ascension St. Agnes Hospital in West Baltimore. Serves so much of the western side of the Baltimore region, is growing at a remarkable rate. Ed comes to us from Atlanta, where he was a transformational leader at Piedmont Atlanta Hospital, which is the flagship hospital of Piedmont Healthcare, which itself is a system of, I think, over 11 hospitals.
Actually 19 now, Damien. They had a big acquisition just announced last week. So they've grown a lot. And so I'm proud of them.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Ed, we are so psyched you're here in Baltimore. We know you're living in the Canton area and you are serving residents throughout the state. Welcome to Center Maryland's The Lobby Pod, Ed.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Damien.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your time here. I guess you were announced as the new president of Ascension St. Agnes in July or so of 2020. So you've been in Baltimore amidst this remarkable pandemic. Can you talk to me a little bit about the resilience of your Ascension St. Agnes workforce? Because it seems to me to be not just on the front pages of the paper every other day, but I know they are grinding and grueling through this incredible, incredible time.
Yeah, you know, I think all healthcare workers have been resilient and during this time. They've had to be. And part of it's just their makeup. It's why they get into this line of work. And I do think with our team here, I'm especially proud of them. And I think that it has a lot to do with a faith-based care system of the reason specifically that they got into healthcare, a lot of them, because it aligns with their faith and their religious beliefs. And I think also there's just a lot of strength with their team. You know, a lot of people have worked here for many years, and so they rely on each other to have that support and resiliency. And I think the other thing that's really important is that they're also really, they're human, you know, so we have to remember that all the time, that even though we feel like we're getting out of the pandemic and it's great and it's nice to be mask free in a lot of places, we're still dealing with just obviously the residue of going through these past 2 years, the fact that this is still a really difficult job. And every day I come to work, it's with the mindset of how do we really make sure that we are supporting these frontline workers, remembering that their jobs are very hard, and trying to always think about what we can do to just give them the support and the perspective that they need to be successful in taking good care of people.
And we don't get to find these articles too often, Ed. You know, we've been running this news aggregator for 10 years, Center Maryland, and we put all the top clips. We get it to all the top people in Maryland. But it was a joy to see this story where you're incredibly resilient. I think it was your emergency room team. Not only preserved a wedding day for one of your patients, but they essentially put a whole wedding together, preserved the wedding day, and made it all happen at St. Agnes. Am I getting that right? These incredibly resilient healthcare workers are like wedding planners too. I can't be getting this right.
It was a great story, Damien, and it actually happened even more impressively up in our COVID floor, the floor that really takes care of most of the COVID patients during the pandemic, 5,500. And it was a great story.
Say that number again, because that does give us a little context. 5,500.
It's just the floor. It's the fifth floor of our south tower, of our south tower. And I really appreciate McKenna and the son covering that the way they did. I think it captured it perfectly. And it was just a spur of the moment thing. We had a couple now they're at the Bells, is their last name, who wanted to get married on 02/22/22 and had plans to do that, but he was in the hospital unexpectedly, and so they thought they might not be able to do it. They brought up the idea of, hey, could they, you know, since he was in the hospital, they probably wouldn't get to someplace that could marry them. Could they get married here at the hospital? So that filtered through our chaplain's office and really caught fire, where the nurses on the floor, all the administrative assistants all over the place, so many different people, maintenance people, everybody else just got so excited about this. And I'll tell you from my perspective, you know, it's a Tuesday and all of a sudden, instead of working, everybody's doing wedding planning, you know, but it turned out to be the right instinct to follow, to have them be able to do that, because it was just, it's just the kind of thing that God gives you, blessings like that to be able to refresh. And it let all of our team pour themselves into something that was beautiful and very consistent with the type of things that they like to see happen on the other side for patients, but they don't normally get to see them. And I think the manager of the unit, Aaron Bossom, was quoted in the paper just talking about how much she needed that, maybe without even realizing, but just needed that ability to feel that in the setting that she's dealt with so many challenging things in the past 2 years, as you can imagine, of, you know, family members that have lost other family members and having to deal with all that, to then have this union happen up there on that same floor was really special. So it was just great to be profiled that way, honestly. So we're thrilled with the coverage.
Talk to me about your physicians there at St. Agnes. And we should be making the point of saying Ascension St. Agnes. Talk to me a little bit about that relationship, actually, as I seek to confuse all of our listeners. I came up in the neighborhood there. It's always St. Agnes to me. My mama worked there. My grandfather was a pediatrician there in the 70s and 80s. Talk to me about what the Ascension partnership means for a hospital like St. Agnes.
Thanks, Damian. Yeah, to set the stage, so Ascension is the organization that we're part of. It's 140 hospitals around the country, but more than hospitals, it's also a lot of employed physicians, a lot of other types of services. And it is it's a product of all the hospitals that were owned by the Daughters of Charity, which Ascension has always been part of. And the Sisters of St. Joseph's, which was up in Michigan, and a couple of other orders coming together and deciding that it made sense. This was probably about 20 years ago, to come together and create a system. And a lot of the drivers for this at that time were that many of the sisters in these orders were getting older and older, and there were fewer to take their place. And I think they began to see that they needed to be able to turn the work that they'd done for hundreds of years in creating these hospitals gradually over to lay people, to have systems that could sustain and survive into the future. And so that's how Ascension was created. And it does give us a lot of strengths. I think most famously, and this happened even before I came in July of 2020, Ascension committed to keeping all of its doctors and employees across the country, which I think is 160,000 employees, completely whole financially during the pandemic. So while a lot of other systems were deciding to cut staff because their income was so dramatically impacted when they couldn't do elective surgeries, Ascension said, you know what, we've got money in the bank, and this is the right time to spend it, to make sure that all of our associates don't have an uncertain future financially as we go through this. We want them caring for patients and not having to worry about other things. So that was a great story of what the power of Ascension can be when you get an organization that's that big, that has pockets like that. I think the other things that are great are a lot of our doctors serve on nationwide committees, different types of committees, where they're in touch with their peers around the country to understand best practices for how to treat patients, just understanding support. And this is not just from, this is from large academic centers around the country, but also hospitals that are very similar to ours. So it has that value. And then getting to be an organization this size, we get certain efficiencies in how we acquire equipment and how we build certain information systems. So those have all been real positives of being part of a big national Catholic healthcare system. And ultimately, it's just that ongoing support too of our mission to take care of the poor and the vulnerable. To do that, we've got to keep our head above water financially and continue to be a thriving organization, making a little bit more revenue than expenses. And but our goal is to serve the poor and the vulnerable indefinitely. We want to be doing this after I retire and into the next generation. So I think that's the beauty of Ascension.
I don't think we get to hear that so sort of straight up, you know, when we talk about medical systems and we talk about hospital systems, just being in service of the poor and the needy is something you would imagine, especially in a pandemic, that those words would trickle up to the top of every healthcare leader's talking points. But I don't hear it as much from other voices as I do for you. They have so much to manage, but you have a heck of a community there that you've been tied to for so long. The doctors that you have at Ascension St. Agnes, from where I come from, which is the Patapsco River Valley, you know, whether it's, you know, West Baltimore and Mount St. Joe, or, you know, Catonsville, or out the river in Elkridge, where I grew up, or Ellicott City. The St. Agnes doctor was and remains just sort of a beacon of community service and just an enormous amount of credibility behind the compassionate care that they've the protocols and the culture they developed over the decades. What makes the Ascension St. Agnes Hospital doctor special to you?
Well, we're fortunate to be in an area where we have a lot of outstanding positions. You know, I think having Hopkins and Maryland nearby is just a great asset. And so we end up with so many physicians who have trained or practiced there and decide that they want to work and have their careers in a place that's more of a community setting. But the beauty is they're still in an urban area. So I think that's what draw a lot of these people who, like I say, trained and practiced at Hopkins in Maryland to this setting that is not, we do have residencies for medicine and for surgery. In fact, we have the second oldest surgery residency in the country, but we're really more of a community hospital, and that's what attracts the doctors. And we have doctors who have been here for generations. You know, their dads practiced here and they've practiced here, and they love the communities that they're a part of. And I think that's what anchors us. And you're right, it's an amazing collection of medical leaders, extremely skilled people who could be practicing anywhere and decide to practice here. And then they have established such a strong culture among themselves. One of the most moving things I was able to take part in this year was the Healing Hands ceremony, where they induct new members of the Healing Hands group every year. And usually it's, you know, four or five doctors who have been here for years, who've gained the respect and regard of their patients and their fellow physicians. And they are nominated and approved to be part of this society. And we have a ceremony to recognize that. And it's, you see all the older retired doctors come back, and just as a tribute to these people who are entering this society. And it means a lot. It means a lot to the doctors, obviously. And it shows just the high regard they have for the history and the legacy of this organization, that's that important to them. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. And so I'm thrilled to work with them. And they also have a strong say in how we run the hospital. We have physicians on our board. I have an open door policy with physicians, and because they're key in helping us figure out how we run this hospital. And I think that's why a lot of them stay, because they know it's their hospital, and they can impact the direction that we go on the future and the way that we design the care for our patients. So I feel very blessed to have that medical staff here.
And talking about the doctors and that West Baltimore diaspora, talk about St. Agnes being the center of my young life. You had the Rebs candy there, you had Cardinal Gibbons, you had I-95 as the center of the world. But those doctors, those nurses, those patients have all spread across Central Maryland in a pretty remarkable way over the last several decades. And it seems to me that Ascension St. Agnes is not only catering and finding and serving that constituency, but they're being drawn to it. What do you say?
It's a good observation, Damien. And, you know, for me, it's been in 18, 20 months of being here. It's just always been the way it's been for me. And we're certainly as committed to serving West Baltimore into the city as we are in the expanding suburbs down into Howard County. And I think, as you said, there, you know, most people might not think of us in Howard County, but we have a big presence there. It's just right now it's pretty decentralized and you have small practices in different parts of that area. And one of the things that's important to us is to create some centralization for that so that it's easier for people to access, more convenient. So we are planning in early 2023 to open a large medical office building in the Columbia Gateway area that is going to give all these, or a lot of these physicians, primary care physicians, OBGYNs, cardiologists, general surgeons who have been in that area for years, a building that can, again, be very convenient for patients. It can allow them to grow and to expand, can have state-of-the-art equipment. And we're excited about bringing that together. I think it's created, not having that has created challenges for our physicians as they've run out of space in some of their practices. And just they've been sort of in places that sometimes aren't the easiest for patients to locate or to find. This is going to create a nice synergy of having all these doctors together, so it's easier for patients to find their doctor, and also when they need to see another specialist, to find it in that same building. So we're very excited about that, as well as our continued service to Howard County. We think of it as home, and we think that it's a community that appreciates having lots of choices with their healthcare, and so that's what we're aiming to provide.
You know, I experienced a friend of mine who is an elected official in Howard County, and during the pandemic couldn't get during the height of the Omicron surge there, couldn't get his father, very prominent person, into one of the health facilities out there. And next thing he knew, he and his dad were at St. Agnes Hospital, and they had all good reports about the Ascension St. Agnes team. And so, I like you said, people may not think about you in that Howard County context, but I would just offer that the Howard County community is one that it's not the easiest to tie into. And so you're already there. You're already in that community. I expect to see great things. Do you feel like it's a sort of a hub and spoke dynamic, or do you feel like it's two poles that the docs and the nurses and the administrative team can all work through those two different poles, one out in the Columbia Gateway area and then one in West Baltimore? Or do you feel like it's more hub and spoke, or am I just throwing some real estate jargon at you that doesn't connect in a healthcare sense?
No, it does. And, you know, those terms are common in healthcare. I think, you know, now with so much of the care can be done completely in an outpatient setting. And that's one of the things we're striving for, is to ultimately to keep people out of the hospital. So whether it's Route 40 or this new big practice that we're going to open at the Columbia Gateway, plenty of people will get all of their care at that setting and not need to come into the hospital because they can get imaging and lab tests and see their doctors and everything else out there. So that's our goal. And I think it's going to be as successful, more successful than Route 40, which has been tremendously effective in being a place that's easy for people to get into and provides great care. And I think one of the reasons for that is that that practice, that building was completely designed by Dr. Cook and Dr. Williams. So usually when administrators get out of the way and let the physicians figure out who do this day in, day out, figure out what it should look like, how they should run their practice, that's when it works really well. So they have designed a place that the flow of patients work, the doctors love to work there. It's very adaptable. They could come up with ways to adapt it when COVID hit and they needed a respiratory clinic that they could provide. So we see the same thing happening at this new place. It will be very physician designed and driven.
Let me tell you a story about Dr. Cook. I met him for the first time at the that family style breakfast joint, Duesenberg's in Catonsville. Mm-hmm. And I started talking to him about all these, sort of the hottest real estate markets that might well serve the St. Agnes doctor and the Howard County experience and pointing out this place and that place. And Dr. Cook just, you know, he wasn't stern with me, but he gave me I just want to remind you, we are in this for the poor. We are in this for the people that need us most. And, you know, he really gave me that earnest point of view that you've also reflected, is that you all are here for something different, for something bigger, and to serve a community that doesn't get touched as much or heralded as much. And I just wanted to reflect on that in front of you, that both your top physicians and you are, you know, coming from the same place when it comes to that unique perspective.
Yeah. And Dr. Cook is the most positive representative of Ascension St. Agnes that I could think of. So he is the epitome of what a St. Agnes physician is in our community.
And for all those people that might have seen the dreaded Duke Coach K finale, one of Coach K's finest assistant coaches was there, from Cardinal Gibbons. And I know Dr. Cook had everything to do with, keeping that kid connected to our community and making that great coaching staff somehow tied all the way back to Catonsville, Maryland.
That's impressive.
Talk to me. We talk about the care model in Maryland. We call it the Maryland model. You're from Atlanta, you know, the home of the CDC and some of the most empowered health networks in the country. I'd love to hear your point of view. You know, we heard you talk about workforce a little bit at the beginning, but I'd love to hear your point of view on the Maryland model. This is something few of us can really explain. Many of us cherish, but we'd love to hear what your point of view is on the Maryland model experience related to Ascension St. Agnes and your leadership.
Thanks, Damien. The Maryland model was really one of the reasons that I took this job at Ascension St. Agnes. It is, we are further ahead than really any other state in the country with doing the things that other places want to do. We are focused on keeping people well, keeping people out of the hospital, trying to use that as a way to reduce healthcare costs. And the state has set up incentives that let us really focus on the social determinants of health, to be trying to figure out ways to reduce people's A1C so their diabetes risk is less, to be able to provide good food for people, education, so many different things, which we know that if we're doing those things to keep people healthy, keep people well, it reduces costs because they end up not having to go to the hospital as much. And when you go to the hospital, you're going to have higher costs. You're going to, you know, it's a place for sick people. And so we need good hospitals, and we have great hospitals in this state. But everybody in the country is trying to figure out how you go in a direction of what we call bending the cost curve, reducing the overall cost of healthcare, and doing it in a way that is positive, that's keeping people healthy. And Maryland is doing that, and it lets us, for instance, have a team of more than 100 people dedicated to population health. So out in the communities, making sure they're doing care management, making sure they're doing immunization clinics, making sure they're doing education for people. So I'm excited about it. It's not without its challenges. I'm so impressed with the HSCRC and the leadership there of Adam Kane and Katie Wunderlich, being true visionaries of how to make this work. I think we have a Maryland Hospital Association that works tremendously well with that state leadership. And it's a very positive thing. You've got, again, some of the most well-known, highly regarded university systems in the country with Johns Hopkins and University of Maryland. And you've got a very collaborative group of hospital leaders trying to figure out how to make the system better. In every other state in the country, people are focused more on how many people they can get in their hospital, which is not something that we want as a society. We want to be thinking, we're going to have a great hospital. It's going to be a hospital that's going to get you well. It's going to keep you safe when you go in it. But we want to figure out how you don't have to go in the hospital in the first place.
You have sort of the privilege and the curse of being in the same media market as some of the biggest medical centers in the country. And, you know, when people are saying how many people have COVID in the country, they're citing the names of these health institutions, which is amazing. But how do you find, you have an academic, Ascension St. Agnes has an academic role to play as well. But it seems to have a much more of a community focus. I mean, many of your doctors are coming from Hopkins or UMS in their training or prior career. How does all that integrate in your ecosystem as a hospital leader? How do you balance all of those differences and similarities with some of the bigger players in the game in Maryland?
It's really a great situation to be in, Damian, because, as you said, these are some of the best organizations in the country for taking care of people. We know that there's things that people should be going to Hopkins and Maryland for, but we also know that there's a lot of things that they should be coming to a mid-sized hospital like Ascension St. Agnes, where we're going to be able to do things a little bit differently in how we take care of people, the time we can spend with people. And some surgeries and procedures and illnesses, such as when you have your hip replaced or your knee replaced, or you have bariatric surgery, or you have breast cancer surgery or colorectal surgery, we do those as well as anybody statistically. We can measure that. And when we can't, when it's a case that we may not be comfortable with, the nice thing is that our physicians have great relationships with Hopkins and Maryland and can refer patients there very seamlessly. And it's what we do. But you, for so many things, you want to be in a hospital like Ascension St. Agnes, a community hospital, to feel like you're being paid attention to, that you're getting the level of care, the attention, your relationship with the physicians, with the nurses. That's what we strive to provide for the people of our community. And like I said, we have a great relationship with Hopkins and Maryland, so do our physicians. So, and they're close by. So when the time comes to say, here's a situation that we've only seen once or twice before, we know we're going to send it on to Maryland or to Hopkins, and we're going to coordinate very closely with them to make sure your care is excellent. So it really is a great situation to be in terms of the different institutions that are in our market.
You know, you're right there in the center of a community that has about as much community pride as I've ever seen. I mean, they got a bumper sticker in Catonsville that says life is great in 21228. You know, I mean, people are proud about where they live. You know, you got the Moeller dynasty over there, keeping everybody informed and active in Catonsville. I know it's a bit of a bedroom comfort community for you, but I'd love to hear what your favorite things are about this communities you serve. I'm going to say Catonsville because when I think of St. Agnes, I think Catonsville, but I'm sure there are people in West Baltimore that when they think about West Baltimore and compassionate care, they think of St. Agnes. And now we know that's the case in Columbia and Jessup as well. So I'd love to hear, as somebody who's coming from, you know, hot Atlanta, which seems to me to be more the center of the world than much any other place on the East Coast these days. I'd love to hear about what it's like coming into this community and some of the anecdotes or institutions or people that you found yourself really digging on.
Yeah, Catonsville is just a marvelous community. And a lot of my exposure starts from the people I work with, people like Dr. Cook and Dr. Grace and others who know everybody in Catonsville. And I love those relationships and the people that grew up there, that have stayed there, to whom that community means everything to, and their families. I grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia, which is not a big city. And my first hospital job was in a little town called Jasper, Georgia, up in the Appalachian Mountains. And so I know small towns, and Catonsville is a small city, but I know small towns and small cities and really love being able to experience them. And we got to march in the 4th of July parade last year, and that's just such an awesome experience of being able to, you know, walk down the middle of town and have people, you know, four or five rows deep on either side cheering for you for just, you know, kind of holding a banner or something. And it was just an incredible experience. And I, you know, the restaurants down there, I typically, when I meet somebody for lunch, I go to the Catonsville Gourmet. And
why wouldn't you?
No, it's awesome. And I'm sure there are other great restaurants that I haven't even discovered yet, but it's a great town. And as you said, St. Agnes, we want Catonsville to think of us as their hospital. And we have so many physicians in that community that have taken care of the people there that it is our community. We want to serve it, and we want to make sure that they feel like they can ask us for anything, and we'll give it to them.
Ed, you got quite of endeavor ahead of you because after more than 30 years of service, Freeman Hrabowski is retiring from UMBC and was, you know, and is the largest thing we've ever had over there on the west side of town. You feel like you're up for trying to step into his institutional shoes there on the west side of town, or is that asking too much from the Atlanta guy?
Yeah, I don't think that Ascension St. Agnes is ever going to beat UVA in basketball in the NCAA first.
Well said.
So I think the chances of that are slim. But seriously, I enjoy leading hospitals and leading this hospital and thinking about how to make healthcare better. And but embrace the servant leadership mindset and embrace really the fact that I've got incredible talent here and want to showcase that. So I've enjoyed taking a leadership role in things like the Maryland Hospital Association's task force for the workforce of the future. I think we've got a lot of work to do in order to be able to figure out a plan to have strong healthcare professionals be available in our state for many years to come. And so that's been a lot of fun to work with the universities and community college systems to figure out how we're going to make that happen. And I just enjoy being in this area. It's a beautiful area. Like I said, I grew up in Virginia. So the Mid-Atlantic really feels like home to me. My wife grew up in Baltimore, up near Towson, went to Mercy High School. And we just love this area. So we're excited to be here and play whatever role God has for us.
You know, one of the blessings you have in your role is that you have the Senate president of the state of Maryland is not too far down the road from you there on 95, maybe like one exit, two exits. And then, of course, Baltimore County's greatest public servant, the Speaker of the House, Adrian Jones, from west side of Baltimore County there. So you could get the call from any one of those two people at any time. This audience tries to, but we try to make it a little easier for you. We've got all of these state circle experts and policy people and great people from the Maryland Hospital Association or MedCI all listening to this. What kind of message would you like to leave them with? Love to hear what your message is to our state's leaders in health and governance.
Oh, thanks, Damian. You know, I think it simply comes down to the fact that hospitals want to serve our communities. We've talked a lot about our community, and that's what we were put here to do. That's what the Daughters of Charity, the Sisters of Charity started 160 years ago at this site. And that's our goal. And there are things that we've got to figure out how to make work in our culture and society. We've got to figure out how to get people to want to go to school to be healthcare professionals, like I talked about, to make sure that we have a stable workforce going forward. We've got to figure out how our medical malpractice climate is balanced and promotes providers wanting to come to this community. We've got to continue to work together on making sure that the Maryland model can succeed. That is not a given. You know, we're continuing to have to go back to get approval for our waiver from the government, from the federal government on a regular basis. And we need to work together to make sure that can be successful, because I think that's a home run for this community if we can get that approved. So when you ask about our goal, our goal is and always has been to serve this community. And I think the things that we strive to get done are things that just let us do that. And so I'm so excited to work with the elected leaders, the appointed leaders in the state to try to figure out how to make that happen. And most importantly, listen to all sides, because I truly believe that that's how we get anything done, that everybody comes at these issues from a point of wanting to make it work well. And that's where we're coming from.
He's Ed Flavern. He's on Center Maryland, Ascension St. Agnes. Thanks so much for joining us on the Lobby Pod. I don't know what kind of grade I'm going to give Elon Musk here on the Starlink. I was hoping for a little more.
Yeah.